Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What you want to read on holiday, like, was absorbed in
it. It's a navy blazer,
yeah,
but it's so much more.
I'll send you the recipe.
That sounds so good.
And I would say yes, I did know pretty quickly.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's amazing.
You're listening to the Sherlock's podcast, your guide to a more stylish life.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Team podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Lou Huff, Becky Hull, and Heather Steele. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I think this is a combo we've never had.
I'm sure we have.
Surely. Really? Although we're not on often together, yeah, Heather. So this is
a
novel.
I've had one with you for a while, Becky.
No, I haven't been on with you for a while.
Great.
Well, I know Lou and Heather get together on the podcast at any opportunity.
Let me nestle in.
How is everyone?
Good. Cold. I feel today is the first day of autumn for me.
It's turning. I think the rest of the week it's like 19 degrees.
What? Nice. I've never understood why people like autumn.
I love it.
Are you joking?
I just hate it. I feel like you never know what you're dressing for. You're constantly sort of in and out of like temperatures. It just drives me insane.
You prefer winter over autumn?
I would take winter over autumn.
Oh, you're mad.
I know what I'm dealing with. That I'm happy. If I know what I'm dealing with, that's fine.
No.
Autumn's just so hit and miss.
No, this morning it was so cold and the sun was shining so bright. It makes me so happy.
Not for me.
It's so beautiful as well. Yeah. Like, everything just looks so pretty.
I mean, obviously, summer is my favourite, but yeah, I just...
No,
yeah.
See, I prefer autumn to summer.
100%.
God. Yeah. Okay, I'm on the wrong podcast.
Has anyone got any fun autumn plans? I just booked my first rose. I'm so excited about
that.
Spaniards, always. Ooh. Chicken for two.
Yum.
Scotch egg. Camembert. I mean, the lot. Oh. All your favourite foods.
Yeah, great. I'm like, when are you going to say something I'm interested in? Say sticky toffee pudding and I'll be like, ooh.
Oh, actually, yeah, a that's... sensational sticky toffee pudding. Yeah, great Bloody Mary. I'm sure there's some cauliflower or something.
Great.
Cauliflower cheese.
Just not cheese either.
I know.
What? I mentioned on the podcast a few weeks ago that we've booked a cottage for Christmas with my family.
Oh, nice.
And we've booked a pub lunch for Christmas Eve. And normally, like, when a pub lunch is booked, I'm like, oh, it's not going to be great, is it? Anyway, looked at the menu. Absolutely divine. I'm buzzing for it.
They've got
like a whole veggie feast as well. Ooh. And then great puddings. I kind of judge a meal on how good the puddings are. And good pictures as well, which kind of look quite fancy, which I appreciate.
Oh, nice. Like a gastropub.
Yeah, like dusted with icing sugar, that sort of vibe, and a bit of like crumb over the edge.
Oh, so nice. Yeah. Actually, can I recommend a gastropub? It's in Sarat, which is Amersham Way, and it's called The Cricketers. And I really recommend it, just if you're really nice for a walk, pub lunch, you know, within an hour of London, really good. We went last weekend. I don't think I told anyone about it. And then I spoke to my mum on the phone yesterday. She was like, oh, we went to a really nice pub with some friends on Saturday. And they went to the same one, which is really random. I mean, it's not near where either of us live.
On the same day?
No, they went this weekend and we'd gone the weekend before.
Odd.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that is coincidence.
Anyway, it was really, really delicious. A bit like you're describing, like, you know, nice jus, rums, that kind of
yum,
thing.
Yum.
Heather, where's your favourite roast in London? Actually, I'll plug an SL Man feature whilst you're looking, because we interviewed 10 or so cool guys on their favourite London pubs. And there are some really good recommendations in there, actually.
I'm going to give you a few. So one is Black Lock in Soho, which is amazing. If you like meat, it's excellent. If you don't, it's still good. But most people go for the meat. I also really like Hawksmoor as well. Standard, solid. Obviously, the beef's really good.
Can I say the thing about Hawksmoor, though, is it's one of those places that claims it's like a £20 roast. But by the time you leave, it's actually like 70 quid a head.
Yeah, it's always.
Yeah.
Actually, one I've never been to, but I keep wanting to go, is The Marksman.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
That's near Columbia Road, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's why I haven't been, because it's now from Brighton. It's such a trek to get to East London.
That's one that everybody I speak to that I really rate their opinion of food always says it's a really good pub.
So I've been there for dinner ages ago, but not for one of their roasts. But yeah, really good. The Camberwell Arms.
Would you guys rather go out for a roast and have a home cooked one?
No, both.
I like both.
But what if you had to pick one or the other?
I'd go out.
Would you?
Oh, we're on all sorts. My roast. I'm not like a great cook about a lot of stuff, but I swear to God, they make a fantastic roast.
Great.
Yeah.
I love the process of making a roast as well, especially if you've got people coming round.
I so agree.
really rate it.
Jesus Christ. It's possibly the most stressful experience.
I love it.
No.
It's slow, yeah. And it's indulgent, and it's delicious. The key, this kitchen smells so good.
When I've done loads of these features of like how to make the best Christmas dinner, roast, yada yada, with the chefs, and they always say don't do too many sides. And I think that's where people get stressed and wrong, because you're trying to do like a gravy, a roast chicken, say, potatoes two ways, three or four sides. You only need like two sides, one potato, decent gravy, and then sticky toffee pudding to finish.
And then it's all about the sides. So
that, no, if you do like what do you like a massive roast cauliflower? I like that.
I'm more cauliflower.
I'm like, hey.
I know. I love
it. I wouldn't go for like a nut roast. That's boring.
It's dense as well.
Very dense.
I love a bit of stuffing. I don't know why stuffing is all part of like a
stuffing's
day-to-day
in my
roast.
Top five food.
I love a Yorkshire.
I love Yorkshire pudding.
Just unnecessary like empty
carbs. Oh no, I love a Yorkshire.
Do you know
well?
That a Yorkshire is the same recipe as a pancake?
Yes.
It's not so weird. Yeah. How versatile.
That is quite weird when you think
it's
about
just a puffed
it.
Pancake.
Yeah.
But I do love stuffing.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I could sit and eat.
And actually, veggie stuffing is my preference.
Yeah. How do you say sage and onion?
Yeah.
Sage and onion.
Although sometimes it throws me because the taste of stuffing is the taste of sausage.
Yeah.
So often when I have it, I'm like,
careful.
You
miss sausages sometimes, don't you? So stuffing's a good shout.
And some of the best veggie food I've ever had always replicates a sausage.
Yeah. I think that says more about the sausage and how pure meat sausages are.
Yeah, I agree.
I once went to this amazing veggie restaurant in Philadelphia, and they did these like sage and onion something sort of like phyllo pastry like rolls, and it was like beyond.
They sound
like
lovely.
Meaty. Oh yeah, God. Like really meaty and really hearty, and just like that flavor you don't get hugely in vegetarian cooking.
Yeah, that's fair. Becky, where's your favorite place to go for a roast?
Well, I can't really suggest very many places in London.
I know, I was hoping for outside sorry. Of London.
Oh, you are hoping. Okay, the Bull in Ditchling is somewhere we always go if you're ever in West Sussex. It's literally the best.
That's really good. Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas Eve and stuff, we've gone there several times because you just can really rely on it for good pub food, and it's so cozy. Loads of beautiful walks around there as well. Also the Griffin in Uckfield is incredible if you're ever over that way. It's got the most insane views, kind of good for summer in that sense. They do big barbecues out there, but also so cozy. It's a very old traditional pub, and all the houses around there you can just walk and sort of gaze at, and one of them's so old that it's completely empty. It's never been taken over by anyone. It's got a huge well at the bottom.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of paints a picture of what the village is like. It's very oldy waldy, but it's beautiful. In fact, that probably is my favourite pub in West Sussex.
Oh, that's so nice.
You make me want to do a drive and then a walk.
Yes, on a Sunday.
I really do.
So fulfilling. Any other nice October autumn plans, everyone?
I've booked two hotels, which I'm really smart about.
Where have you booked?
Well, believe it or not, it's our anniversary next month.
That's Annie. Crazy,
isn't it?
Happy Annie.
Thank you. So we are treating ourselves to a night at Heckfield.
Oh, that'd be lovely.
Which I'm super excited about. And then my mum and I are also going to Thyme. We meant to do it ages ago, and then the pandemic hit, and then you just couldn't get a room. Sorry. My mum has kind of wanted to go for ages, and I'm really, really excited to take her. I think she's like been to a hotel like that. So it'll be really nice.
Nice.
Dreamy.
Yeah. And it's on a Sunday, so I feel like we can do like nice walks around there.
That'd be nice.
Spa and get a massage.
And actually the Swan Pub opposite Thyme.
It's really good.
Really good.
Yeah.
I'd love to go there. Yeah. Harriet Russell's just been, hasn't she? She absolutely loved it.
It's dreamy.
So nice.
It's really lovely.
Oh.
How are you guys finding the socialising?
I'm exhausted.
It's so intense. Tiring.
Also you kind of schedule these things in, then the month comes around and you're like, overwhelmed with how much is going on. It's a lot. Yeah.
I've now decided that I'm way better in small groups. Anything probably over 12, I don't think is my vibe.
Really?
I don't love small talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, not even just deeper, but just like more than surface level, I'd say.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think also after being in lockdown for so long, you do want to have more meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
You don't just want to talk rubbish all the time.
Yeah.
We've actually made quite a big effort to see people like outside of our normal social circle over the last month or so as well.
Same.
Because it does just make the conversation a bit more varied. When you just see your friends, you tend to chat about the depressing stuff
because
you caught up with everything else. Whereas when you see newer people or people you don't know as well, I feel like the conversation is not about the fuel crisis and the Brexit.
Oh my God, yeah.
All of that. You tend to talk about more interesting things.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. Well.
I saw some friends on the weekend who I haven't seen like properly in years, I think. Mm. And it was just so nice to like catch up properly. And yeah, I guess with those kind of friends, you kind of, you go in straight away, which is really nice.
Yeah, amazing.
Anything to recommend? I feel like we've got to talk about Squid Game.
I think we do.
Which everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
What did you think? How far into it are you?
Like a third of the way through.
Okay, this is the new Netflix series, we should say, that is touted to be the most viewed ever.
Yeah, I think it's set to overtake Bridgerton at some stage. I keep saying this, but I'll say it again. Netflix is a weird one in the TV criticism world because they've never qualified how they count.
No, but they did last week.
Did they?
Yes. This is why Squid Game came up, because they last week they released viewing figures for their top 10 viewed shows ever, and they announced what they measure viewing figures on.
Oh, interesting. Yes. What do they do it as?
It was X amount of minutes past, right. I can't remember. It was in the Times last weekend.
I see, because in the past people have been like, well, what counts as a view
exactly,
for Netflix?
No. For the first time they clarified this.
Interesting. Yes. They have been under pressure to do that, because it's like, what, so you know when something just sort of starts automatically playing afterwards, they're like, does that count as a view?
Or when they show you a trailer, but really it's like half the film.
They're also very good at doing that. Let's see how it does. I'm sure it'll overtake. But I do find it a little bit weird that it has, I mean, Bridgerton has got universal appeal. I feel like anyone I've spoken to in the office about it has been like, oh, that doesn't sound like my cup of tea. And then, so I do find it a bit unusual, let's say. But I have enjoyed what I've watched so far. It's a bit slower than I was expecting, but yeah, intrigued to learn more about the characters as we go on.
So what's it actually about?
So it is a South Korean series set in South Korea, and it's basically a sideways look at, like with Parasite, the sort of, you know, deep poverty that exists in South Korea, but they've turned it into, you know, a game. And essentially it centers on one man to start with, and you see him going through life struggles. He's very poor, he's got a bad relationship with his young daughter, he's in debt, he's a gambler, and he essentially ends up being offered the opportunity to win some money to play a few games. So he goes along, and then there are lots of hundreds of people there, and they basically all realize that they're all in debt, and they've all been selected to play these games. And if they win all six games, they get loads of money. Their lives will change. But yeah, it's very deadly, which they don't quite realise. And I don't think this is spoiling anything to say that, episode one, you see the first game, and I think about 2/3 of people get very violently killed.
Yeah. So is it a kind of horror-y?
I'd say it's more a psychological horror. Because, I mean, personally, I haven't found it gory. Mm. But it's definitely...
It's shocking. Creepy.
Yeah.
It's shocking. I'm on episode 3.
Okay.
I am sort of in agreement with you guys. I'm not really sure what's taken off in popularity, but then playing devil's advocate, I think it's because it draws you in, and you then want to know, well, why is that happening? Who's behind the masks and what's going on? Mm-hmm. So I think it's kind of that pull that people have probably tuned into it more. Whereas I guess something like Bridgerton, just for instance, you can kind of watch and you know it's going to plot along nicely. I think I'm so gripped by it, even though I agree, I think it's a bit slow. I now do really want to see who's going to win this game.
Yeah.
If they're going to
go back to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
It's worth a go.
I think so. Yeah.
Something we're different. Not for me.
Not for me.
Can I talk about James Bond?
Yes.
Oh, did you go see?
Which I saw on Sunday night. And, oh my gosh, I loved it. It's just so good.
Are you a big James Bond fan?
Like, not outside of Daniel Craig's films. Like, okay. I've seen, you know, he's kind of the Bond of our generation, isn't he?
Yeah.
He started 15 years ago, so I haven't even never seen
Pierce
Brosnan. No, my dad's a massive fan.
For me,
I don't like old films.
He's more who I associate with. I can't bear Daniel Craig as Bond.
I half agree. I think he's been quite cold as Bond up until now. But this film is really warm, really funny. He's really amazing in it. There's a lot of emotion, every scale of emotion. He's banterous, he's self-deprecating, he's crying. You know, there's everything.
Wow.
And it is so wonderfully British, particularly this film. It's not quite as po-faced as some of the previous ones have been. It's much more. Yeah.
Good that it's being celebrated. I think when something's that anticipated and that drawn out, you're kind of like, oh, is it even going to be any good?
Yeah. They also refuse to show any critics any previews, which normally only happens if a film is really shit.
Yeah.
But it's not. No, it's had great reviews. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't want to hype up too much, but it's just 2.5 hours of complete fun and enjoyment and emotional rollercoaster. And
did you see in the cinema?
Yes, you can only see it in the cinema.
And what was it like being in the cinema?
It was lovely. I went to the cinema once in the pandemic. We saw Elf. At Christmas.
Oh, yeah, I remember you went to that.
It was during that time where, you know, every single day a new thing shut down. So that was kind of okay. All that was left to do. And then the next day the cinema was gone as well. But yeah, it's lovely being back and being back in such a kind of, yeah, no restrictions way. The other thing is my favourite bit of the cinema is the trailers.
Yeah.
And there were so many good ones coming.
So I went to the cinema as well on Sunday. I saw The Many Saints of Newark, which is the new film that's the Sopranos prequel. So obviously, I banged on about, I watched The Sopranos in lockdown. But yeah, they've finally brought this with sort of son. Film out. Yeah, with James Gandolfini's son playing a young Tony Soprano. But it's very, very good. Ooh. I don't know how much pleasure someone would get from it if they haven't seen the rest. It does stand alone as a good one-off film, but I think it's one for Sopranos fans. But same as you, I never really buy popcorn in the cinema, but we bought a massive bag of popcorn.
That's because they've still got all those things.
It's entirely normal. It's entirely real life.
They've done up our Cineworld as well, so it's got, like, you know, those sort of reclining big leather seats well. I mean, it wasn't so posh by any, you know, cinema standards, but it was nice.
I feel like cinemas need to drop their game anyway. Yeah. So there's all those Everyman's where you're sort of like,
I went to Everyman.
I know, it was great. Loved the film, but yeah, same as you. There's some people talking in the trailers behind, and I was so irate because I was like, I've missed this so much. I need to see the trailers.
Timothy Chalamet is in every film coming out.
But we need that anyway, but it's now all come out at once.
What looks brilliant, and I remember thinking this looked brilliant when I first saw the trailer months ago, is the new Wes Anderson.
Yeah,
it looks so good.
It does. I love Wes Anderson so much, but I have to say I watched the trailer and it's a bit like, it just looked like a bit Wes Anderson by numbers.
It's such a good cast, though.
I know, but it's always the same people. Like, it's great, but I'm not that excited by it because it's like, Tilda Swinton, Bill Murray, and Adrian Brody, like Saoirse Ronan. I love it, but I don't know. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to watch it. And the trailer did look great, but I'm way more excited by June with Timothy Chalamet in.
Tell me about June, because this is the one with Zendaya, isn't it? And that's out soon, isn't it? Because there's definitely posters around.
Yeah.
There's a lot of kind of Star Trek-y, Star Wars-y kind June of films.
June is a remake of an 80s film that's based on a sort of 70s sci-fi novel. And the original film's fucking great. Mm. So I am very excited because it's a remake.
What is it about this one that appeals?
The cast, I think, is really good. And just cinematically, it just looks really good.
Yeah, it does look amazing.
And also, I don't want to spoil anything, but it is a genuinely, like, interesting concept and storyline. Okay. I'm really intrigued to see if it's, like, a straight remake.
It's like a dystopic-y thing.
Yeah, like, it's basically set in the future and people have to sort of wear masks because there's a sort of sand, not demon, that makes it sound awful, but there's basically like an enemy that means they can't breathe. But the June,
bit pandemic-y. That's James Bond is a bit pandemic-y as well. Really, you know, it's all about, it's like I Am Pilgrim, you know, with like a virus being hacked.
Oh god,
I know, it's all about. Sorry. Also, speaking of remakes, the other thing that there was a trailer for was Steven Spielberg's new version of West Side Story.
I know. I've been excited. That was meant to come out the Christmas before last, and then last Christmas.
Who's in that?
It's who's the guy from Baby Driver? What's his name?
Oh my god,
it's him.
Ansel
Elgort. Yeah,
that would be. I bet that would be amazing. Yeah.
I just feel like it's such a classic. I mean, it's West Side Story. Why have they remade it?
It might be. But like, it might be really. Not that you can go that different, but it might be quite uplifting. And I don't know. Not that it's.
Oh, it's not very uplifting.
No, it's not an uplifting story. I don't know.
One day they'll remake Sound of Music. You know, it's like all gone too far. Like these things are classic.
It's just Romeo and Juliet, isn't it? It's just another take on remaking that. I think it'll
I don't
be
know,
good.
I think I'd watch that, yeah.
Did you see the trailer for Spencer?
No, they didn't play that.
No. That looks fucking great.
So that's a Kristen
that
Stewart,
looks amazing.
Diana
one. And I've got to say, like, it's the same storyline as what was on the last version of The
Crown.
The
last series of The Crown, yeah.
So it looks very similar storyline-wise. I thought Emma Corrin was amazing. Mm. And I'm not always a massive Kristen Stewart fan, but she was amazing in the trailer.
I think she's an amazing actress. Yeah,
it looked really, really good. So I'm actually quite excited about that now.
I'm excited for House of Gucci when that comes out.
Oh my god, I can't wait. I'm gonna go see that.
You know what else, I'll go see.
And you know what else I saw a trailer for? What in a similar vein is the Monica Lewinsky with Beanie Feldstein.
With Beanie Feldstein. What good casting as well. She will be amazing in that.
I've booked some theatre tickets. I've gone on a theatre booking binge.
What have you gone for?
I've gone a bit basic, but there's a lot of celebrities going back to the West
End. I was
going
to write a feature on this. All our big actors or US actors are like, I'm going to take to the stage.
Okay, so Eddie Redmayne's doing Cabaret, which looks awesome.
My God.
Yeah, wow. I need to book that. I need to do that this week. But there's dates available for into next year. Yeah. Limited availability, okay. But there are dates available. Saoirse Ronan.
In Macbeth.
In Macbeth.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Who's the guy with her in that?
James McArdle. So, yeah, he was in Angels in America, in the Broadway version.
Which I only saw half of. No, I saw the West End one, but I only saw the first half.
Yeah, they did it in...
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Mm. Well, it was bloody long.
Exactly.
And, yeah, he was in Ammonite, Mare of Easttown, Mary Queen of Scots with Saoirse Ronan. Yes. So, yes.
The tickets don't come out until the 21st of October. General admission. 18th is for members of... Yes.
Yes.
So it's in my diary. I booked tickets for Jodie Comer in Prima. What's it called?
I think it's Prima Facie.
It's actually one that I didn't even bother looking at what it's about. I just thought, fantastic.
You want to see her.
I love Jodie Comer. Yeah, love to see her live. Oh, yes. Amy Adams is in
The Glass Menagerie.
The Glass Menagerie, yeah. Which I saw Kim Cattrallin.
Yes, I remember when she did that.
So that's a Tennessee Williams play. So that's also on my list.
Wow.
I've booked Cock.
Oh yeah, I was going to say Cock.
It's with Taron Egerton and it's with the guy from Bridgerton.
Jonathan Bailey.
So not super
Hodgy. Yeah.
That one. And it's about they play a gay couple and one falls for a woman. I thought it sounded really fun. And I've also finally booked tickets to see Kush Jumbo as Hamlet at the end of it.
Which that will be amazing.
On a roll.
I'm on
a roll. Are these all pre-Christmas?
No, a few of those are for next year.
Okay, wow.
Yeah,
but that's exciting though.
Yeah, like it's the same in the States as well. But can you remember Jake Gyllenhaal was going to do Sunday in the Park with George?
Oh,
it's been, postponed again, but he was meant to do it last summer and then this summer.
We've got friends who watched his new film and said it was the worst film they've ever seen.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
The Guilty,
yeah.
Don't watch it.
Quite really.
Do you know what it's like? Have you ever seen Lock with Tom Hardy where it's just in a car?
Yeah.
It's like that, but a computer. Oh. And I love...
And what happened? Sorry, I haven't seen that film.
So in Lock, Tom Hardy's just in a car the whole time on the phone to his wife.
Oh, like phone booth.
Yeah, and this one is him. He's a 999 call handler and Jake Gyllenhaal kind of is literally on the phone the whole time. And I think he's such a good actor, but it was just a flop. Like, don't carve out time for that.
All right. I want to see something way less highbrow than you guys. Tina, the musical.
I'd like to see. It must be so much fun.
It's been out for a long time. And I really wanted to go and then couldn't get tickets. Anyway, obviously, it's now available again. So I really want to book that.
In the lead up to Christmas.
Yeah, I want to see
Six. I'm seeing Six quite soon with my friends.
It's a good girls one. Yeah. Six, yeah. Let's do some quick fire questions, shall we? We've been chatting for ages. Somebody has said, oh, great chat. Best everyday comfortable knickers.
Oh my God, M&S. M&S every single day. Like, I hate it when I get to the end of my knicker drawer and all I've got is the nice ones left.
Nice
I don't wear them. No. Get me my classic everyday black M&S. I think they're £8 for four, maybe.
I think I've got similar ones. Yeah, like no VPL black ones.
Great.
Yep.
I wear the Victoria's Secret equivalent. Victoria's Secret makes it sound like they're sexy. These are far from sexy. But you can now buy them on Next.
Oh, nice.
Next online. Okay. Do all of Victoria's Secret stuff. And I'm the same. All about comfort.
Yeah.
Becky? I like H&M. They've got really comfy briefs that are really stretchy and they have no VPL. I love their underwear.
For something really large as well. Yeah. I love Sunspell. They're like bloomers almost. They come up to about here.
Oh yeah, I like the sound of those.
Yeah, they're really big. Ben's always like, but I don't like their little briefs. My bum eats them.
Okay.
But the big ones.
Oh, I'll check those out. I love a really pair of comfy bloomers.
I love a good brief.
They're really comfy. Any advice on dealing with new job anxiety? Ooh. How do you go into a new job feeling not scared?
I just think sometimes a certain level of nerves is just inevitable.
I agree.
I guess remember that you've been hired for a reason.
That's really good advice.
Mm. Yeah.
I always think that about lots of things in life, that when you feel something, you sort of just have to be like, well, this is normal. Of course you feel like that. Of course. I remember when I moved to Paris, I might have said this in the podcast before, and on day three feeling really unsettled and a bit like, and I was like, well, this is totally normal. Of course you're not going to feel entirely comfortable.
Yeah.
So just kind of leaning into the fact that, it feels a bit uncomfortable for a while. Yeah. It's probably the only way to get through.
And also I feel like when you then have been really nervous about something and then you come out the other side, you're like, oh, that was so nice. Whereas if you kind of haven't been on that journey, isn't as satisfying.
Yeah.
Good for growth.
When I interviewed Elizabeth Day, she said something really interesting, actually, that I'm trying to remember more. But she was like, if you ever feel fear, it's often actually excitement. Yeah. And just to, not obviously in every situation, but with nerves and things like that, it's often because of there's an underlying excitement there rather than absolute dread and fear. So just to sort of latch onto that side of the feelings rather than just shitting yourself.
Yeah. I guess that there's normally always a good or a bad outcome.
Yeah.
So you don't really know which way it's going to go. So that would make total sense.
Yeah.
This is my favourite chat topic in the whole world. What would you do if you won the lottery? Oh. Becky, if you won 100 million tomorrow, what would you do?
Well, probably buy a bloody house. Where am I going, guys?
Would you hand your notice in?
No.
I would do something, what? Becky.
I wouldn't. 100 million.
What did he say?
I wouldn't hand my notice in. What would you do all day?
I'd think of a few things to do for a while. But I might go back to work, but I think, like, at present, I think I would be like, this is...
Oh, no, I definitely stay at work.
I feel like I need a bit of time to think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I've always... If I wanted to go and, like, be an entrepreneur, then I probably would have, like, bothered... And obviously, it's helpful if you've got 100 million behind you, but I would have done that by now.
Well, you know, take a sabbatical then.
Yeah. I wouldn't even take a sabbatical.
No, what? I would.
No. I'd take a sabbatical.
So what would you do with the money?
I'd go on holiday. I'd maybe pay Georgie a million quid and let me go on holiday for a while.
Okay.
I would buy a house.
Yeah.
And then I'd just really like enjoy myself. I just want some good, I just want clothes.
I'd go on a lot of holidays.
You'd get a shit ton of clothes for 100 million.
Yeah.
Get some wardrobes. All that house stuff you'd get.
I'd probably still end up shopping in Zara. I'd probably still be like, what am I buying? But no, I wouldn't. I'd get a house and I would go on a
walk-in wardrobe of Zara.
Buy a whole Zara.
Woo, Zara.
Oh my God, that could be yours. That could be your wardrobe. You go in every day.
You can buy a little flat upstairs, a piano chair.
This is where I'm living.
Is that it?
That was it, yeah.
What would you do? What's the first thing you do? Like in that day, in that 24 hours, where would you go?
I don't know. I think I'd just try and call everyone I knew and be like, let's go to the pub and just
would
buy
you
everyone
tell
drinks.
People?
No.
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. No.
I would my nearest and dearest. Yeah, I'd nearest try and book book somewhere to take everyone I love.
I wouldn't be coming into work and telling everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
No, no way. Certainly not.
Rich.
Yeah. BTS. Yeah. What would you do?
I think I would focus it around lots of holidays.
Yeah.
And yeah, a big house, walk-in wardrobes, a utility room is like really high up on my list of things I'd love to have.
Yeah,
you have a really good utility room for 100 million.
Like double dishwashers maybe.
I've had this conversation a lot with various people. I wouldn't buy any additional properties abroad. I would just stay in the best hotel. Like how fun to just go to New York and stay in like a
I'd love to just go like straight to New York.
Yeah,
and have like an amazing. Or maybe I'd go to Paris and I'd go shopping in Paris. Mm. Then I'd then go to New York.
Wearing
like,
your new clothes.
Wearing all my new clothes and go out and go to some amazing restaurants. Mm. Then I'd go somewhere on a fabulous holiday. Maybe I'd then go to LA.
I would go straight to LA. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I go to Beverly Hills Hotel and just shack up there for like a month. I'm not sure how I'm keeping my job in and amongst
the rest. Yeah. Yeah, like, good.
Is that all right with work?
Yeah.
Work from home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you should leave.
Yeah, just quit. Becky, where's the first place you'd go?
I would go back to Positano because it was eat your arm off expensive anyway, and I would literally just—it's just the most beautiful place. And obviously, go to other places in Italy, but that would be my first stop. Yeah.
Heather,
it's really irritating when you go somewhere like really expensive. Yeah. And you really want to be like, I'll just have whatever I'd like. To
I know,
have. But you're like, I'll have a side.
Yeah, we literally paid for two Fantas and it was like £15.
Oh my God! When we were on our honeymoon, we like one evening Lou decided to get the fish and it was like this like salt baked beautiful sea bass and he was like, oh, what does it come with? And she's like, oh, it comes with some like Mediterranean like roasted vegetables, whatever, but you know, you could have some spinach, you could have some chips, whatever, some potatoes. And he was like, oh yeah, great, I'll have some spinach and potatoes. And then the bill came. Guess how much one plate of spinach and one plate of potatoes was.
Oh my god.
The guess,
like 12 euros.
15
each?
I was about to say.
What a devil.
30 euros.
Oh, two sides.
Wow. I hope they were bloody good sides.
You know, well, annoyingly, I wish I'd known that when we got them. Sort of actually Sculpt cleared the plate.
Yeah, exactly. Licked it clean. My God.
Oh, my God.
How much was the sea bass?
Yeah, I think the sea bass was like 45, which felt quite adequate in comparison.
Yeah. That's the only reason I was asking. Yeah.
Okay, someone has said, the thank you present to give parents for our wedding. I think that's a really good question, and we aren't not over this for so long that we never actually did anything.
Oh,
and
it's
I feel
the worst.
So awful.
It's the worst when you've like really, really thought about something and it's you've just left it.
Two and a half years. Yeah, that's not happening. I've got friends who took their parents to. They did a chef's table at a really lovely restaurant.
Which is a really like nice that.
Yeah.
It's
something you can experience together. Yeah, a gesture.
Exactly. Yeah. The only problem with doing something like that is then you end up having to pay twice. You pay twice because you pay
it's
for
like
yourself
when you buy
too.
Theater tickets.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah.
parents are weirdly obsessed with wedding photos.
I think they don't.
Like, you know how we just have ready, available access to all our photos on our phone? Yeah. Like, I obviously look at my wedding photos just all the time because I'm scrolling. Mm-hmm. Even though my parents like, have iPhones, I don't think they do that.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I made them just like a photo box for the wedding for their anniversary this year. I mean, they spent like an hour pouring over. Have you not seen these before?
That's
they
sweet.
Just don't look at them in the same way. So I actually just think something like that works.
Yeah. Yeah, I think something sentimental maybe is nice.
Should you take your husband's name? There's no should.
No.
Don't have to.
I think it's totally personal preference. And it annoys me when people are very opinionated about it.
Either way.
It's just up to you, isn't it?
Really. Yeah. My best friend recently, both her and her husband have taken his mum's maiden name.
Interesting. That's nice.
So they've both changed their surname, which I think is really nice to change it together. So you're kind of both entering this new chapter of your life.
Yeah, that's lovely. And
really modern.
Yeah. Ben still won't. Changed to Kolowitz just as an update.
I know. Have you? Are you Kolowitz?
No.
I remember you talking.
I might be.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But only if he does it. Like, you do it together.
I don't know. I could just do it by myself. It's quite jokes.
I think you should. It's cool.
I think it's cool.
Nice, is it? I've got friends who, she actually listens to the podcast. Hey, Tash. She's Rosenfeld and he's Matt's. So they call themselves the Matzenfelds.
I'm like, oh, that's
cool. That's better than the Kolowitz.
When they really gel like that.
Yeah, then it's different. It really works.
Yeah.
Heather, somebody's just said intermittent fasting. There's no question, but do you still do it?
No, I do. I have been thinking about it. I've basically been using this other thing, which I've spoken about before, called Noom. And they're kind of very much like, don't try any other sort of ways of being healthy while doing it. Basically, I think I said it before, but I stopped when we were all working from home because I find it very difficult to do when I'm at home. I find it much easier to do when I'm in the office. Mm. So, because basically I'm just nowhere near any food and I can distract myself. So I'm thinking about it. I do think it works.
Yeah. But you definitely found it effective, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah, but like anything, as soon as you stop, you just sort of all the weight piles back on. Yeah. So it is one of those things where if you do it, you kind of have to do it forever.
I saw my dad this morning at 6:35 this morning, which is a whole other story.
What time did you wake up?
I know. I'll tell you about that afterwards. He rocked up at my door at 6. He's basically said he was going to drop something off today and didn't give me a time. And at 6:35, I got a text being like, hey, you here, I'm outside. I'm like, that is a punchy time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he took a gamble.
Were you awake?
Yeah, I was. My alarm goes off at 6:30, but I think he knows
that. What was he up to?
He's on his way to work and he likes to miss the traffic, so he just drives in super early. Anyway, the point is, I was like, oh, so will you have breakfast when you get there? And he was like, no, I'm doing intermittent fasting. But like, so that was 6:30 and he wasn't going to eat until 1.
But that's fine. I find that
he thought it was super easy,
like, to not... The whole thing with that is like... Basically, don't eat anything until you're starving. Yeah. So I wouldn't eat anything till 2 because
you don't feel like your insides are like eating each other.
No, because I you can drink like black coffee and herbal teas and have loads of water.
Exactly. I just feel like hear the noise. It's like a hot water bottle.
It's just so what you're used to, isn't it? Like, I would feel incredibly faint, but it is what you're used to. Like, I'm sure.
Yeah, I had my breakfast at 11:30 today.
Yeah.
Like, if I have it early, I'll be wanting lunch at 10:30 so.
Yeah.
This is such a nice question. Any Christmas tradition you cherish now or once as a kid?
Oh, I love talking Christmas traditions.
Oh, it's so early. I'm going to get in trouble, but anyway, go on. I love this chat too.
I'm trying to think. I guess basic things, like a bit like you were saying, Lou, we always all go for dinner on Christmas Eve. That's been a tradition for years. We all still open our stockings together. How sad is that? Even though, like, we're literally way past it now, but we always do it. Even if you're spending it at someone else's house, you, like, carve out the time for
that. That's nice.
And we always have... our little like seafood platter at 11 every morning.
Sweet. I know.
It's just those things you get used to. I mean, actually now we are more kind of everyone spending Christmas in different places, but they are the things
that
we always do. Yeah.
Heather?
Mm-mm. Can't think of any off the top of my head. I'm not very positive.
The only tradition I think we've got is leaving sherry and a cookie for Father Christmas.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Who consumes them?
Heather. What a silly question.
I mean, if they're full and they can't stomach it, who takes
them?
They're
always empty.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The next morning.
You're 33, but sure. Oh, Lou, how to wear skinny jeans and not look dated? Good question.
I would say wear knee-high boots and a really big, chunky roll neck. To just kind of, I think you've got to go with different proportions. If you're going to go skinny on the bottom, make sure you go oversized on the top, or like, you know, a bigger blazer or kind of an oversized trench or something, just to balance it out.
Treat them as leggings almost.
Yeah.
There's so many BTS questions. Do you watch yourselves back on BTS? It's part of mine and Lou's job, which I wish it wasn't.
Yeah,
I think I'd be a much happier person if I didn't.
It gives me so many insecurities I did not have pre-watching myself in 3D.
Lots has already told me there's a scene from the summer party. Okay. You know, when you've got...
jokes.
I heard her say that to you yesterday. Like, ooh, I saw you grinding on BTS earlier. I was like, that's the worst thing you can say to anyone.
And I wasn't even that
drunk.
So I just... You know when you're like, I won't be watching that back.
No.
It's really horrible.
I don't think anyone should ever have to see themselves on camera.
No. I thought you meant me.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's really horrible.
No, watching yourself back is
on anything. Horrible. I don't like watching myself on
the show. Nobody likes it. No one has ever said, "I love hearing myself speak."
I was going to say, I don't like listening to the podcast.
Especially BTS. Yeah. There's something about BTS where I just look very grey and different on it. So, sorry, Rich.
The thing with BTS for me is that more often than not, it's me being filmed eating stuff. Yes, so that's like true, a whole other sort of ballpark.
Okay, final question. How do you rebuild a work wardrobe post-COVID? I think I had these dreams of wearing only kind of joggers and hoodies to the office post-COVID, but that's not really
appropriate.
I thought you'd gone the opposite, like, fuck it, and come in like, the most outlandish thing ever.
I think
ever.
I was for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, fair enough.
You and Polly definitely had a conversation about being really colourful this season.
So that is my plan, but today I have a spray tan after work. I'm wearing a lot of grey and black today, and I really couldn't, like, I can't dress fun if I have a spray tan.
Yeah.
I have to just cover
all my practicality
skin.
All the way.
It's a practical issue today, which is why I look very boring.
I would say think about the things that make you feel quite professional and not even professional. Like, I think that kind of sounds like a negative word.
No, I totally agree with you.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, because we don't work in like, polished. Yeah. We don't work in a corporate company, but there are certainly certain things that make me feel professional.
Yeah, there's definitely things I put on and I'm like, okay, like I feel like my job title today. Mm-hmm. And then there's other things I'm like, oh, I just feel a bit like blendy today. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I'm having a blendy day.
Same. So I think, have a think about what those key pieces are to you and then maybe build it kind of around those pieces.
Do you also do the same, Heather? I feel like you in particular kind of, you probably dress on the weekends the way you dress for work, but do you have any sense of, okay, I'm, you know, these are my work clothes, these are my weekend clothes?
No, not really. And that's why actually with the summer party we had last week, I really didn't know what to wear because I always wear the same things. I don't dress up all the time, but I don't have too many things that are super casual.
No, so because you wear dresses a lot, it works for everything. Yeah,
exactly. So I was a bit like, what should I wear? Because it didn't feel like I was putting anything special on, which is also a bit annoying sometimes. I just, for some reason, didn't give it much thought until like 2 days before. And I was like, I should have just bought something new instead. But no, I don't know really.
But you still look lovely. And what it does mean is that your whole wardrobe is appropriate for most occasions.
Yeah.
So that's quite nice.
Although there's sometimes been times when my boyfriend's like, ooh, dressing for work, are you? On a Saturday, if I'm like wearing a certain thing for like, I don't know, something on a Saturday, like work Heather's here.
Mine isn't so much about the weekends. I think I kind of blend my working wardrobe with my weekend wardrobe. But I do have it when I go on holiday. Not like if you're on a hot holiday, but if I kind of do like a city break or just somewhere that's basically the same weather as you are now, and then I'm packing something, I'm like, oh no, that's what I wear to work.
I so agree. Yeah, it's really hard. I agree.
And then you don't have that separation.
Becky, do you have a separation between your wardrobes?
I think I have a very definite separation. And even sort of last week for the summer party, when I go out for things like that, then I really will dress up, but you won't see me like that often.
You looked so amazing.
You did. Love
that dress on you.
Thanks, girls. But that is like, I've always quite liked doing that, where you can then go all out and you do look a bit different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of something I do quite like to reserve. But then equally, I would say I have a very much weekend outfit. I'm always in jeans, so I do try and separate it for work. But I do also really believe in being comfortable, because I think if you're not going to wear something that's uncomfy to work, so for me, that's something I've tried to sort of channel in a little bit. But yeah, I think definitely a divide in my wardrobe. Yeah. It sort of splits into three.
Does it?
Yeah.
Work, what's the three?
Weekend, evening, like going out.
Nice.
Yeah. Get your party gear on.
I'd rather do that, because like, I sometimes just like open mine up and I'm just like, honestly, just don't know what to, I could wear anything.
I think there are pros and cons to your approach.
Yeah.
Well, wardrobe's certainly not boring, but I can see why you're just having the same thing.
Yeah, you're like, don't know.
Everyone's so different, aren't they, with clothes? It's tricky.
I know, interesting. All right, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening too. Also, thank you for your questions. You can always email podcast@sheerlux.com, or you can look out for the question box that we put out on Instagram every Sunday night. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.